Sure. It's Dominic LeBlanc. I'm the Liberal candidate in Beauséjour.
All right. So, Dominic, why did you decide to reoffer in this election?
I decided to reoffer in this campaign because I think I can continue to serve the people of Beauséjour well. I have gained a lot of experience over the last number of years, and I think that the Liberal Party in this election and certainly in the past 2 years has shown the people of our riding that we're able to tackle the issues that are important to them and bring results in areas that are important to the people of this riding. And I feel very privileged to have been elected a number of times as the Member of Parliament for Beauséjour, but I sort of think my work isn't done yet, and I think I can continue to contribute a lot to the people of the riding.
All right, and Dominic, I believe it's looking back, you know, to about 2000. What made you want to be part of the Liberal Party?
So you're right. I was elected the first time in 2000. I had worked for a number of years as a lawyer in Shediac and in Moncton, and had the privilege of being elected for the first time in 2000 and re-elected ever since. I had worked as a volunteer in Liberal elections when I was a student. I'd had a chance to work many years ago as a young assistant in then Prime Minister Chrétien's office. And I became convinced that the Liberal Party has always offered solutions to some of the great problems facing the country, but also important in the lives of people in southeastern New Brunswick. And in this campaign in particular, I'm hearing a lot about health care, a lot about how to bring COVID to an end and what governments can do to fight against COVID. I'm very proud, for example, that our government is being tough around the question of mandatory vaccines for people who want to go on airplanes or travel on trains or work for the Government of Canada. Vaccines in the context of COVID are the best way to bring an end to the pandemic. The other parties haven't had the courage to, for example, even say that their own candidates are fully vaccinated, or that by increasing the number of people who medically can be vaccinated against COVID, by increasing that number, it's the best way to bring COVID to an end. So the Conservatives, Mr. O'Toole, talks, for example, about how he wants to restart the Canadian economy, but if he's not prepared to do what's necessary to put COVID behind us, we're never going to be able to restart the economy and look after people who've been economically very hard done by during COVID. So this election, more than any others, I think there's a real difference in the choices voters have. And if it's on health care or child care, the question of $10 a day universally accessible child care, these are issues that I think will benefit people in southeastern New Brunswick in a very real way.
Now, Dominic, I do want to continue with something that you talked about there. What are you hearing from constituents?
I'm hearing, obviously, there's a real concern around COVID, around the pandemic. It's been very, very tough on a lot of people, small businesses, people who work in tourism or in the hospitality industry have been hard done by. I'm very proud that our government acted very quickly and massively to support people through COVID, to put in place the economic supports that were necessary for millions of Canadians to come through COVID, but we're not finished yet. And our government has said that we will do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to support people to come out the other end of COVID, of the pandemic. That includes supporting small businesses. I was in the Skidook Industrial Park visiting businesses last week, and the owners of those businesses told me if it wasn't, for example, for the wage support program that we put in place, that many of those jobs would not have been saved. But I also hear families talk, Robert, a lot about affordability, about cost of cell phone bills, about housing. It's a huge challenge, particularly for seniors, for example, on fixed incomes. The cost of rental housing, the cost of maintaining home ownership is very high. The cost of young people being able to buy their first home. These are issues where I think the Liberal Party and our government has shown that we have concrete plans and programs that will help people. But the one thing that I hear about often more than any other issue is the idea that a $10 a day childcare program accessible to all families will make a big difference in the affordability issues for families. It often allows single parents to be able to access the workforce to go to work, or both parents, in many cases often women, are able to participate in the workforce if they can find affordable, high-quality childcare. And the Liberal Party is the only party that is committed to a national system of $10 a day childcare available to all families. I'm disappointed that Mr. Higgs has not yet signed the agreement with the Government of Canada to cut by 50% the cost of childcare next year for families in New Brunswick. I think I was able to work in the Government of Canada as the Minister of Intergovernmental Affairs to get agreements with conservative governments in Prince Edward Island, in Manitoba, in Saskatchewan. They recognize the value of this, and I think Mr. Higgs ultimately will also want to be a partner with us. Mr. O'Toole has said he'll cancel that. The Conservatives in this election have been very clear. They will get rid of this. They're proposing some tax credits that don't actually create childcare spaces and end up benefiting rich families much more than low or middle income families.
All right, and next on to health care has been under the microscope in recent months amid the pandemic. New Brunswick is facing a huge shortage of both nurses and physicians. Understanding that it's up to the provinces to deliver the health care, what would you do to help address this?
That's also a critical question. I've been, like many New Brunswickers, very worried about the shortage of health care professionals that have led to closures of emergency rooms or reduced services in small hospitals, and in fact some of the big ones in Moncton, for example. Immigration can be part of that solution. We can recruit healthcare professionals from other countries who want to live in Canada. The challenge is the provinces have to find a way for their certifications to be verified, for the stories of nurses and qualified medical professionals who come to Canada and aren't able to work because they're not able to either have an apprenticeship or get their credentials certified properly quickly is a real challenge. But the Government of Canada also has to help provinces financially be able to recruit and retain healthcare professionals who have been exhausted during COVID, have been on the front lines and done an absolutely terrific job, but are obviously, like anybody else, limited in how they can continue to step up, and that's why we need to bring reinforcements to support them. We've offered the provinces direct funding tied to the recruitment and the retention of family doctors, of nurses and nurse practitioners. We're prepared to put $25 billion additional dollars to deal with things like recruiting healthcare professionals, transfers to provinces, targeted at mental health services, which have also been found to be very lacking during the COVID context. Mr. O'Toole and the Conservatives talk about unconditional transfers to the provinces. He basically wants to write a blank check to provinces for health care, but when you look at the financial framework in his platform, it was very revealing that there's no significant increase in funding to help provinces on these critical issues until years 7, 8, 9, and 10 of a Conservative program. So I think it's very dishonest to pretend that he's going to support provinces in doing the work they need to do by back-end loading money that he'll transfer to provinces. We're prepared to step up right away, immediately, to support provinces across the country. But we also don't think it should be a blank check. We think that people should see results for those investments. If the Government of Canada is going to transfer billions of dollars to provinces, like we did for COVID, we paid all of the vaccines, we transferred billions of additional dollars to support provincial healthcare systems during COVID, But the people in those provinces, the residents, should be able to see those results directly. And that's why if we say to a government like the government of New Brunswick, we're prepared to transfer X hundred million dollars immediately, but what's your plan to recruit and retain those healthcare workers? I think that's a more reasonable approach, and I think people want to see the governments working together and not Mr. O'Toole pretending that he's going to transfer money, but it'll be 7 years down the road when the need is now, and he's not even going to be able to guarantee a result for those investments.
All right. Many businesses have struggled over the past year and a half as a result of the pandemic. What will you do to continue supporting them?
So, as we've said also from the beginning of the pandemic, that we will support small and medium-sized businesses across the country, and including many in southeastern New Brunswick, with programs like interest-free loans, like forgivable loans, small business loans, like the wage subsidy, which, as I said, has preserved millions of jobs that would otherwise have been in danger during COVID. We'll continue to make those programs available for as long as it takes for these businesses to come out the other side of COVID. The COVID numbers we've seen in New Brunswick in the last number of days are worrisome. So it's a reminder that this pandemic is not behind us. We think vaccinations, as I said earlier, have to be a key part of that, and we've had the courage to say they should be mandatory in a number of cases. Another thing we're going to do is give money to the provinces to set up vaccine certification programs. Mr. Higgs announced yesterday that he'll be proceeding with a vaccine sort of passport to be able to go to restaurants or sporting events or gyms. The government of Canada is going to transfer money to help the provinces pay for that, because we think that's an important part of the fight against COVID. But at the end of the day, we think that the government has a key role to play in supporting both individuals, families, with programs like CERB and others that help them come through COVID, but also ensure that jobs and businesses in sectors that will necessarily be harder hit by the pandemic, like tourism, like travel, like hospitality, like the service sectors that frankly have paid a huge price because of the public health measures, the government just has to be there to support these businesses until we come out the other end of it.
And in addition to affecting businesses, the pandemic has impacted almost all Canadians. What will you do to help everyday middle-class Canadians and those who are struggling to get ahead?
As I said, I think the Liberal government has shown that we'll be there to support directly Canadians and Canadian families in the context of COVID. The income support programs, the additional money that we transferred, for example, to seniors on pensions, low-income people who received the GST refunds. We've recognized that it has had a huge cost on individuals and on families. And we've been prepared and shown we've been prepared to support them financially, and we'll continue to do so for as long as it takes. The circumstances around COVID have also shown a number of real needs in the community, if it's around homelessness and housing and access to mental health services and addiction services. COVID has shown that a number of sort of cleavages in society or cracks that perhaps hadn't been so visible are now very much visible. And that's why things like accessible, affordable child care at $10 a day are key elements to help the country and families recover economically and be in a position once again to participate in the economy fully and in the workforce.
All right, and speaking of affordability, affordable housing has become a huge concern. Year over year, New Brunswick has seen the largest increase in average rent prices. What would you do to address that and help those who are having a hard time with affordable housing?
Again, a critical question. We hear a lot about that. One of the things we're proposing is a way to limit the speculative nature of people who try and profit by buying real estate in Canada and don't live here, one of the things that's driving up house prices completely unreasonably in some markets is non-resident owners, people who don't live in Canada or don't live in those houses, buy them to speculate and then flip them, sell them quickly at a higher price. That has a negative effect in driving up house prices that make it very difficult for young families or for younger people to buy their first home. We have a number of programs that will directly target first-time home buyers by helping them with that initial down payment, offering tax advantages to help people with an initial down payment to buy their first house. The Conservatives have been irresponsible in circulating, for example, the idea that we would tax the sale of some family home or somebody sells their residence. And the Conservatives have been wrongly saying that the Liberals would tax the profits, the increase in the house prices for regular families who sell their home or people who retire and want to downsize. All of that's not true. What we're targeting are the people who profit, particularly non-residents, as I say, in many cases people outside Canada, who use real estate investments as a way to make it harder for people to afford houses. One of the challenges I'm hearing a lot is seniors who are renting apartments, who live independently, but suddenly find that landlords are increasing their rents unreasonably and they can't afford to keep the apartments and have to move, but in many cases they can't move to a more affordable rental accommodation either. We think the province of New Brunswick, the Conservative provincial government, should bring in some rent control legislation. Many provinces have rent controls that don't allow people to double somebody's rent in 1 month or have a 30% increase all of a sudden. The Conservative Premier has refused so far in New Brunswick to bring in rent controls. The Government of Canada can't legislate that. Provinces can. Some provinces do. So we'll continue to try and push the Government of New Brunswick to do something to protect people from outrageous rent increases.
All right. Well, Dominic, I think those are all the questions I have. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, Robert, just to say that it's been a huge privilege for me to be the Member of Parliament for Beausejour in the past. And as I say, I think I still have a lot to contribute to the community, to the people in southeastern New Brunswick. And I'm hoping that people will support me on Monday, the 20th of September.